The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Almost got to hear the whole song.
I know that hasn't happened before. That's how late we slid in. Hey, Bob, you got two screens up there. Is that new?
I've always had two screens.
They're not usually blank.
Man, that's bizarre.
There's no writing.
I'm sorry, I was just down the hall putting out fires.
Okay, who left
almost,
the coffee?
Almost literally speaking, fortunately, figuratively speaking.
Who left the coffee pot on yesterday? You know who you are. It's now soaking in the sink and smelling like fire. Shame on you.
It's right across from the fire department. That's kind of handy, actually.
Yeah, it is. So, you're joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. It is KCNR 1460. We're in Redding, California. We talk about things that impact you no matter where you live under the umbrella of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. We're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us, or you can join the chat room at kcnr.com. Call-in number is 530-605-4567. Hey, so you know the fire fee that was imposed on 80,000-plus Americans that live in rural areas that are probably covered by fire service already.
Some of whom are no longer living.
Yes, but they still got a bill.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess the bill has been introduced into the California State Legislature now to, if they eliminate that fire fee tax, they're going to impose a new surcharge, i.e. tax, on everyone that owns a home.
Someone needs to pay me. That was my bet.
I knew that would happen. I knew.
It's like, please repeal the fire fee so we can either make it bigger.
Yes.
Or tax everyone.
Yeah. And the second they said they were going to just focus on the people that lived in more rural areas, I thought, yeah, that's where they start.
Mm-hmm.
So for all those people that were thumbing their noses at those of us that live in rural areas and saying, ha ha, you know, that's not me. Well, guess what? Coming to you soon.
Well, see, what happens is they don't even take the time to thumb their nose because they're just like, huh. Yeah. You know, it's like, huh, I wonder what that's all about. And then, gone, off to something new.
Yeah.
So,
I guess the ones thumbing their noses were the bloggers.
The tax man comes for us all. Yeah. Well, and then everyone says, you know, well, you know, those people should pay more. They live out where the fires are.
Yeah, because Cal Fire never goes in town, in city limits, to help anybody.
Yeah, but bottom line is, no city people ever go out and start fires out in the woods. That hardly ever happens. I'm sure that's never happened. So they shouldn't probably share the burden. Besides the fact it wasn't to put out fires anyway, it was to backfill their budget. So
yeah, got those.
That made it extra awesome for everyone.
Yep, got bills to pay, people to pay, so on and so forth.
Yeah, stuff to pay.
Yeah.
So, what have you guys been doing since last week?
Well, yesterday I took
my niece. Take a little checkup from the neck up here.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Are you feeling better?
I am.
You
I'm
sound
not
better
sick anymore. Yesterday was the first day I wasn't dizzy. Actually, I talked to someone at the post office. They said a whole bunch of people at the post office had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it made them all, like, have vertigo, too. I thought, oh, good. That was just me.
Yeah.
As long as everyone else has it, I must be okay.
It's been kind of a busy, crazy week nationwide. Lots of conspiracy theories floating around.
Boy, and lots of good stuff on that end.
Yeah. So the whole thing in Boston, wow, big deal. And I had run that marathon a couple of times, and I remember running it right after 9/11. And I stood there getting ready to take off on the race, and I looked around, and I thought, you know what? This would be a target. I can just see this being a target. I was not, unfortunately, not at all surprised.
No, it's a sad. Interestingly enough, I think there were more people in the streets celebrating after they caught the guy Friday night.
Oh, no kidding.
I thought, well, okay, that's weird.
But, you know, I got to tell you that the law enforcement at all levels in that area really came together, and they hit that thing hard.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they just...
But if it didn't give you an absolute chill up your spine to see, like, stormtroopers running in and out of everyone's house, I mean, ugh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And I wish we had an administration that would hit terrorism that hard.
Yeah, but then didn't you wonder, you know, all those people who were gun control advocates, weren't you just, you know, be a fly on their wall?
Yeah.
Like, honey, I told you giving up our guns was a bad idea. You know,
yeah.
All those conversations that were going on in those split households.
Either that or some of them that were saying, see, gun ownership begets violence.
Yeah. You know. Oh, actually, and I got a great email. I wonder if I can find it. Oh, you know how it is. You can't always find them really fast when you want them, but it's a good one.
And the thing is, the truth is, we'll never know. At the end of the day, we'll never really know exactly who is connected to who and who did what and whether these guys were set up or used or totally responsible all by themselves or if they belong to a cell.
Yeah, exactly.
Just all kinds of stuff floating
around. But we do know that it will beget legislation.
Yes, and that you can count on.
I have it right here. Citizens rallying against pressure cookers. Crap.
No way.
No. Somebody did send it to me. But
so for all those canners out there, give them up. Give exactly. up your pressure cookers now.
The most informative thing that came out of the whole deal was people were like, really? There's still pressure cookers?
Yeah, I heard that. Who has pressure cookers?
Who's got a pressure cooker? Do you even get one?
People that can.
So I think, you know, lots of phone calls are being made.
That's
now.
So
are there
funny.
Really pressure cookers out there? So, yeah, citizens rallying against pressure cookers. It says, we need legislation now to prevent further needless violence against our citizens. The two pressure cookers used in the Boston bombing resulted in 3 deaths and 140-plus injured. Why don't we have laws regarding background checks prior to their purchase? We should all ban pressure cookers with removable lids and require immediate registration of any existing
pressure cooker. Am I sensing a little sarcasm in this email?
Yes, and I thought it was so well written. Oh, the best part. We expect major opposition in this new legislation from the powerful Cookware Manufacturers Association lobby, funded by All-Clad, Califan, Farberware, and Revereware. Oh, we shouldn't joke about this stuff.
Well,
but it was pretty funny. The CRAP Act stops criminals and the dangerously mentally ill from buying pressure cookers by requiring universal background checks on pressure cookers, increases penalties for people who use illegal pressure cookers, mandates life in prison without parole for anyone who murders a first responder, and imposes the toughest assault pressure cooker ban in the country. For cooks, chefs, and law-abiding pressure cooker owners, the new law preserves and protects your right to buy, sell,
as well
and keep,
as your
and
food.
Use your pressure cooker. So, you know.
Certainly, we're not trying to be disrespectful.
No, we're not.
But as is often the case, sarcasm is a very effective tool when it comes to driving home a point and making you think.
I'm forced to use sarcasm. Elizabeth gave me my National Sarcasm Society mug, and in reference to all the people that would be, say, griping about the use of the crap law here in my... in the inside of the cup, it says, like, we need your support.
Yeah.
So if you don't enjoy sarcasm, it's just because maybe you're not funny.
Yeah.
That could be it.
It could be.
Because the best retort is blame. Yes.
Yeah. And Bob, good point, though.
I was very impressed with how the nation in general and the sporting community in particular came together to rally around Boston this week with in the wake of all of the events there.
Yeah.
After they announced that the second suspect had been captured, the San Francisco Giants baseball fans in San Francisco started singing Sweet Caroline at AT&T Park on Friday night. Sweet Caroline, Neil Diamond's song, of course, is the Boston Red Sox anthem, which brings up my second point. Neil Diamond himself takes a cross-country flight, shows up at Fenway Park yesterday, calls the Red Sox management and asks him if he can be included in the ceremony, and he sang Sweet Caroline live at the Red Sox game yesterday.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah.
And then
maybe you heard the David Ortiz soundbite?
No.
David Ortiz, a longtime player, designated hitter for the Red Sox. He was speaking totally from the heart. He got extremely emotional and addressing the fans. At one point, he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "This is our effing city.
Stay strong,
Boston."
Yes.
And the FCC is not going
to hit the button.
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
Let's
I'm pointing out.
Can you say effing along with crap?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The if I had the soundbite, it would be bleeped. But the point is, the FCC commissioner said he's not going to fine David Ortiz or any of the affiliates that carried the live.
Well, you know, and it's funny because we came together after the nation came together after 9/11 as well, and it was absolutely wonderful to see that. But as is human nature, a little time went on, people forgot, they got comfortable again, and I just hope that people understand that this probably isn't going to stop anytime soon, and you need to educate yourselves, you need to be alert, you need to be vigilant.
Vigilant.
Yeah. No, vigilant is...
No, vigilant.
Okay. I can always count on Erin to correct me on the air.
Well, it was just funny. I was going to say something silly, and I decided not to, and then it was already done.
Yeah, I know.
I
love that I can count on you for that.
Yeah, well, otherwise it's not fun for everyone.
So, Boston is a great city, though. I had some wonderful times there, so our thoughts and prayers go out to those people. Everybody affected by it.
Yeah, what about all the folks in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
The fertilizer.
Yeah, that's almost forgotten, but that was a horrible tragedy.
That was a huge deal.
In the town of West Texas, which is actually in Central Texas, but
it's like South Bonneville, East Bonneville, and North Bonneville that don't, any of them go the right way? Yeah.
But, going under the radar almost as a result of all of these other events this week, the legislation on Capitol Hill, but the gun control bill did go down to defeat in the Senate.
I know. Isn't that nice? But you know the interesting part of that? If, in fact, they would have passed the gun control bill, we would have actually gotten, like, a break on our gun laws. That would have actually improved the situation in California. Isn't that screwed up?
I can't speak for Sacramento.
Yeah, well, but, you know, the federal legislation everybody was worried about.
The stuff coming out of Sacramento is much worse.
No, I mean, it would have helped our current gun laws. It would have actually lessened our current gun laws if the federal laws had passed.
You're referring to California?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, where we are now. I mean,
because the federal law would have overridden the state law.
Correct.
Okay.
And made them more lenient. So it's kind of like, okay, although we didn't want the federal ban to pass, if you were just going to be super, super selfish, it would have actually been a better thing for California. So anyway, we still don't want it to pass. We're still gonna say no. So join us on the chat room. I can't get out a private message, so you're all getting blank private messages from me. I don't know what the deal is there. But join us on the chat at wethepeopleradio.us. We're going to give Joe Vranich a call right now. We're going to find out what the deal is in the land of high-speed rail that isn't high-speed anymore, but it sure is high cost. Ooh, big numbers. Check out the webpage. All the facts are there. So anyway, we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. And thank our advertisers here for a second. Enjoy the Sunday morning.
And we'll salute Boston one more time as we go out.
Check. Listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline. The times never seem so good. I'd be inclined to believe there never was.
That was me. I just had a thought.
You all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Okay, welcome back to We the People Radio. We've gotten over the funny half hour, so now we're going to get serious and talk about high-speed rail in California. But something that I heard yesterday, and if it's incorrect, let me know. But apparently people that are on CalPERS or STRS retirement plans, in other words, you're a public employee or a teacher, and you know, you get your nice, hefty little retirement when you're no longer working, and then you decide you want to move out of state somewhere where you don't have to pay high income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently you still pay California income tax on your California retirement, no matter where you live, no matter where you try to hide.
Cue Hotel California, the song.
So if anybody, if that's incorrect, let me know.
You can check out, but you can never leave. And yeah. Actually,
and I thought, that's fitting.
Actually, I have it on a pretty good source that CalPERS is becoming heavily tangled at the upper financial levels with their investing block in all sorts of sustainableness. I mean, some pretty, we'll have a show on that, but anyway, how do you think they're going to bankroll all that sustainability?
Mm-hmm.
Geez, CalPERS has a ton of money.
Oh.
Yeah, don't you think that's awesome?
Yeah.
I did. So we have with us on the line, we have Joe Vranich, who is, I'm just going to take it right off the bio here. He's an executive coach and a consultant with clients located throughout the U.S. He's been on all sorts of big channels that, you know, don't even know we exist. ABC, BBC, C-SPAN, that I watched the other night, by the way. CBS, NBC, the whole ball of wax. Ooh, you even had to be on MSNBC. I bet that was taxing. And we have had Joe on before talking about businesses leaving California. Because
the mass exodus.
Because there was a mass exodus. Mm-hmm. So we thought, hey, let's have him on again about that. And he said, no, let's talk about
high speed rail. The train wreck that is.
New report out that Joe, are you a co-author or the author?
I am the co-author with Wendell Cox, who used to be on the Los Angeles Transportation Commission. So between the two of us, we put our heads together on high-speed rail.
Nice. And it appeared in the Reason Foundation, and we have listed tons of stuff. If you would care to go to the site at wethepeopleradio.us, it's all there, or reasonfoundation.org, I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are. You know, is it still this ambiguous? No, we can pull it off. We have the money, or not.
The misrepresentation by Sacramento on California high speed rail is, to paraphrase one writer, jaw droppingly shameless. The trains will not run as fast as they claim they will. The schedules will not be as quick as they claim they will. Sacramento says this system will operate at a profit. It will operate at a loss, which will be a burden on taxpayers in perpetuity. Just about everything related to this program has been misrepresented so badly that it represents, in my mind, a gross breakdown in government credibility in the state of California.
Which is, they didn't really have that far to fall, so, you know, they probably didn't get hurt in that tumble, but it's pretty bad when they honestly, you can't find a shred of truth. Just not
well,
even a shred.
And it goes back for years now, because what a lot of people don't realize, when the citizens voted on Proposition 1A in November 2008, they were led to believe that we would have a high-speed train system that would carry you for about $50 from Los Angeles to San Francisco in 2 hours and 40 minutes, and this is going to be good for the environment, and all of this stuff was written in that ballot proposition in a not the neutral language, which is required by law, but in a real promotional set of language. Well, as it turns out today, the ticket cost, they've already admitted, will be up to $81. What they won't admit is under this new plan they have, the trains are not going to link San Francisco with L.A. in 2 hours and 40 minutes. Our new study estimates a three-hour minimum, and that's if a train makes only one stop. But trains are going to make more. than one stop, because people living in places like Merced and Bakersfield and so forth, they're going to say, hey, wait, you aren't going to be ripping up half of our town to put this system
and then we don't get to get on.
we're going to use it, or at least some of us will. So we think that we're up to, let's say, 4 hours and 35 minutes would be the fastest schedule if they're making, I forgot how many, like four intermediate stops. But if they're making seven or eight stops, this thing could be 5 minutes, 5 hours and 10 minutes for the trip. So what we have today not high-speed rail. We have, let's call it something better than Amtrak, but not as good as anybody else has in the world, and we're going to spend $100 billion of federal and state tax dollars to build this imitation, fake, faux high-speed rail system.
And isn't it true that the feds aren't coming through with as much money as they promised, so the state's going to have to make up the difference?
Well, the feds have come through under the Obama administration with a couple of billion dollars with some mild stipulation, because they're all buddies with Governor Brown and they don't want to make it too hard on the state to spend the money. But part of the claim from California is that, well, we're going to get more money from the feds. Well, are we? The last time I checked, the United States government had a record level of debt in the trillions of dollars. And then the thing that's really laughable is that Sacramento claims, well, we're going to get private money into this system through private-public partnerships. That is just a bold, outright misrepresentation that goes beyond any evidence whatsoever of what has happened on high-speed rail lines elsewhere in the world, until you get to some later stage where some maybe real estate development might occur or something like that. But there's no way that private money is going to be used as a springboard to help build this system in any meaningful way.
Well, and so for all those people out there who go, yeah, but then people would use it, and then they wouldn't be driving their cars, and then fake global warming could get stopped and all that stuff. So you guys did some little homework on the ridership, which I thought was awesome.
Well, they promised in the Proposition 1A ballot language that ridership would be anywhere between 65 million people a year and, get this, all the way up to 117 million people a year. That would make the California system the most, the grandest, best-used, highest ridership line in the world. As a matter of fact, that would pretty much equal the ridership on all high-speed trains all around the world. France, Germany, Japan, you add them all together, and altogether, they exceed 117 million, but no one has performance equivalent to this. So we're saying, no, your ridership is going to be much lower than that. And they now estimate, they lowered their estimates, but we lowered ours even more, and I just don't have the number in front of me right now. I'm having trouble remembering this wealth of numbers that they issue versus numbers that are really fair to present to the public.
Well, I think that kind of goes with a lot of different things that we hear in the state of California. We have to enact CARB legislation because, you know, even though everybody's going to be, you know, we've got people driven out of business, we've got the cost of everything going up, the fact that it's not actually going to do anything for air pollution around the world, and yet they go full tilt. I mean, it just seems to be no... I think it's ironic the Reason Foundation put out the report, because, you know, if you take reason in the truest form, there is none when it comes to these folks.
Well, the cap and trade issue and carbon emissions and so forth is interesting from a high-speed rail angle because, let's look at cap and trade and carbon emissions. For a moment, let's forget whether global warming is real or not. I mean, they say, you know, the earth is warmer than it's been for 5,000 years. So my question is, okay, I'll believe you. But if it is, what happened? Why was it so warm 5,000 years ago? We weren't driving SUVs around. You know, what can we blame that on? But just to sidestep that entire line of questioning, the United Nations, in their work, says that there's an economically efficient way to reduce carbon emissions, and you should not spend, you should be spending roughly between $20 and $50 per ton of carbon that you are removing from the atmosphere. However, if you look at the greenhouse gas emissions that would be removed from the environment if we built a high-speed rail, we would be spending $1,800 per ton of carbon removed. So I say, if you're an environmentalist and you true blue believe in global warming, I won't argue with you. But let me ask you this. If you believe in it, isn't it wise to spend the money in ways that have more common sense to it than $1,800 per ton? And no one has to take my word for this or the Reason Foundation's work for this. Research at the University of California in Berkeley said it would take 71 years for high-speed rail to save enough in greenhouse gas emissions to negate all the emissions they would create by building the system. So to my environmentalist friends, and I have some, that high-speed rail is the most ineffective way of reducing greenhouse gas emissions in California that we can conceivably come up with.
We thought we'd give that a moment of silence just to let it sink in.
That, and everybody's making fun of Al Gore on the chat room.
Yeah, you can't talk about carbon credits without
talking about Al Gore.
Uh-huh.
Now, so
well,
I have a...
Al Gore took part in a press conference in Washington, D.C. about 10 years or more ago, and where they signed contracts for the Acela high-speed train from Washington to New York and how it was going to revolutionize everything. And that train has been a technological challenge, to put it politely. To this day, Amtrak does not meet the legal requirements to connect New York and Washington in 2 hours and 30 minutes. So our evidence is when Al Gore promised high-speed rail, he didn't deliver high-speed rail. And Al Gore and Jerry Brown, as far as I'm concerned, they're in the same boat on this issue. I don't know if they're intentionally misrepresenting things or if they're just plain delusional, because a lot of these folks who are in favor of high-speed rail, they confuse hope and fact. They say, we hope the system will do this, and they state it as a fact, ignoring the evidence from all around the world of what these systems do. And in places in the world, these systems do some good. Listen, everybody, I'm the former president of the High Speed Rail Association in Washington, D.C. Now, that does go back 15 years, but I've written books on rail. I've actually testified before Congress about 6 times in favor of high-speed rail, but none of it is connected to this bizarre system that California plans to build.
Yeah, so, we should have included that part. The part about how you were a massive proponent. We did that on the last show. It's kind of like, if you don't listen every week, you're just not going to know the whole thing.
Yeah, so you need to tune in every week.
Exactly.
That's the point.
By the way, I'm not the only advocate. I don't know if you there's been a lot of publicity lately on an independent politician. He hasn't been a Democrat or a Republican for years, Quentin Kopp out of San Francisco. He has been a huge proponent of California high-speed rail, and he's turned against it. And that's significant because he chaired the State Senate Committee for Transportation, whatever it's called, and he co-wrote the legislation that launched this project. And now he's filed a briefing in a lawsuit, and he's calling this the great train robbery. You know, I'm looking at a line here. They just mangled the project. They distorted it. We don't get a high-speed rail system. And he's right. We're going to get a slower speed rail system. And then one other is a big rail advocate down in San Diego, Jim Mills. Jim has been around for years and years advocating rail, and he now has denounced this program in a declaration he filed in a lawsuit by Kings County. So he's also saying that this isn't high-speed rail. This the taxpayers and the voters have been hoodwinked big time.
Well, I think there's more than one thing they're hoodwinking us on here in the state of California. This is one of many. Although I do like there are multiple canaries in the coal mine, because that's after a while you can't sidestep and marginalize everybody. You know, that's pretty hard to do. So we need to take a really quick break. We'll be back with Joe Vranich talking more about high-speed rail. If you have questions for Joe, give us a holler at 530-605-4567. We're here on KCNR 1460 AM.
But I knew I'd heard that stranger's voice before.
Was it Jerry Brown?
I turned to look into her eyes, but she moved away. She was standing in the rain, trying hard to speak my name. They say,
and we're back. Now, did I not promise you that the music was just about as important as anything on this show? I love the Love Train, Bob.
Love Train was awesome.
Hey, so real quickly, just to derail us for just a moment. I'm sorry, that was fun. So all the weird things happening in California, what do you think about co-ed bathrooms?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have them on this train.
Yeah, that passed through the assembly.
Yeah.
That in the schools, the state will mandate that... you know,
yeah.
If an individual thinks that they might be other than what they are, they can go use the other bathroom.
Yeah, it's going to be
I love it when they impose all the stuff on our
kids. It's going to be great in high school. Gee, Joe, don't you wish you could go back in time and be in school again?
Hey, when I was, I remember my boyfriend, when I was in high school, my boyfriend snuck into the girls' bathroom one time. I was in there touching up my makeup, and all he did was sneak in and, you know, chat with me for a few minutes, and the janitor walked by and caught him when he was leaving.
Now?
And he chased him around the entire perimeter of the high school because he snuck into the bathroom to talk to me while I was changing, putting my makeup on. But now
he'd be a registered sex offender.
Yeah, that. Now he can come in and...
So well, he was a girl. He felt like a girl.
He felt like a girl that day, and so here he comes. Isn't that nice?
I know. Anyway.
So fun.
Yeah, so somebody just said, hey, you guys are off track. All right, Joe. Joe, back to you. Okay, so... After you guys wrote this report, how long ago? Like, how long did you work on it?
Oh, we worked on the one that's just been released. We worked on it for about a year. But to add some perspective to that, this is an update. It's called the Due Diligence Update Report. And in 2008, just before the election, we issued our first report, which is entitled simply Due Diligence on the California High-Speed Rail Project. And I want you to know, and everyone to know, that all of the things we said in that report have proven to be accurate. It is astounding. We said this system could not be built for whatever their first claim was, $30 billion, and now the authority admits it. We said that there would be a lot of public opposition, and that's exactly what has evolved. We've said that you're not going to carry 117 million people, and even their own revised figures now agree with that. So for people who are real high-speed train advocates or railroad buffs who don't like to hear these kind of things coming from me and Wendell Cox and the Reason Foundation, I challenge them, go back and look at the first report and see how accurate it was. And in light of that, it's kind of hard to argue with the newer findings we have in the current report.
So if we stripped away all of the truth about this project and the figures, the facts, the studies, all of that, chances are they're going to push forward anyway. What's their end game, and what's the real motivation for putting this high-speed rail in?
Well, the real motivation is the state is run by statists who believe the state should do everything, including run programs that are badly run. It's a way to continue to build their own power. Every new agency that's created is another agency that you can appoint your pals and your buddies to. Every state-run enterprise is another opportunity for the state to have some, if not outright control, at least additional influence over your life. There's no talking with people like Jerry Brown and Nancy Pelosi about taking reasonable approaches to a lot of these problems. So, you know, for example, I don't want to get into Obamacare, but Obamacare was designed to solve problems like the donut hole. My issue is, well, why not solve the donut hole problem? Why go and do all of that? So these statists have a mentality that they know better than we do. They have the right to spend our money, and they're bullies. There are film clips of people trying to testify before the California High Speed Rail Authority who are opponents of the project, and they're cut off. And yet there are Senate hearings. There was a Senate hearing not long ago in Sacramento where opponents were not even given the opportunity to speak. But the labor unions were, and the environmentalists were, and the far, far leftists were, and it was a love fest about high-speed rail. Not a word was said about already the cost overruns we've already had.
So really,
and, by the way, they started by saying this thing would cost $30 billion. Then they said, well, it's going to cost $64 billion. No, it won't. Ladies and gentlemen, the evidence from around the world when it comes to building these things and the average cost per mile for construction and all of that stuff means this is going to cost more than $100 billion. And if Sacramento thinks the other 49 states are going to line up at our borders with money saying, here, take our money so you can finish your train system, no way are the other 49 states going to come in and bail out this project.
It's going to take a lot of $80 tickets to make up that. So in the end of the day, it's just a pet project for these guys to grow government. It's not like they actually believe in high-speed rail?
Oh, I think some people do. I mean, I believe in it in certain limited instances. This certainly is not one of them. And it's also a case of envy. Oh, well, gee, China has these trains and France has these trains. Well, why don't we have these trains too? And my message to mayors and city councilmen and county council people and state senators and legislators is this: get over it. Get over it. There's always something to be envious of. There's probably a higher, faster roller coaster in Japan than there is in California, so does that mean we should go subsidize and construct roller coasters that are bigger, higher, and better? No.
And would you say is it safe to say that most public transportation, wherever it may be located, is always subsidized by the taxpayers? Is it ever self-sustaining?
No, it's no longer sustaining. At the early in the last century, there were a lot of private bus companies in the country, that even local ones hauling commuters that operated profitably. Streetcar systems like the old Pittsburgh Railways Company in Pennsylvania operated at a profit. But the world has changed, and skipping a whole lot of reasons what's changed socially and demographically, these systems became more and just lost more and more money. So virtually everywhere they've been overtaken and now run by public authorities. However, in some cases, public authorities have contracted these services out in a competitive bid structure so that they can keep the trains and the buses running. And yes, subsidies still exist, but the subsidies are lower once you introduce competition to get the private sector to actually operate them. California does virtually none of that, but even super liberal Boston, Massachusetts contracts out its local train service to private companies and has enjoyed a huge savings in the tens of millions of dollars every year in doing so.
So, have we talked about eminent domain?
We have not.
And we haven't also, you know, when you were talking about the environmental community, that's another thing we need to bring up, because they're not 100% on board either. I mean, there are many facets of the same group that are pushing back. You've got part that's in, and you've got a whole another big chunk that's out. We'd better probably take a really quick break. Do we have to, Bob?
We need one more break, yes.
Okay. We got a little behind. So we better take one more quick break before the top of the hour chops us off. We're going to be back with Joe Vranich. We're going to chat about high-speed rail today. Hope you let a friend know they should listen in, because it's coming to a town near you. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
One toe over the line, sweet Jesus. One toe over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One toe over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One toe over the line.
Another one hit out of the ballpark. You are joining We the People Radio. We're talking about high-speed rail, the train wreck that is. Hey, so we were chatting very quickly about Obamacare, and we're not going to, you know, get off the track here. God, the puns are just flying this morning. Anyway, my brother took his dogs to the vet yesterday, and his vet informed him that once Obamacare really kicks in 2014, that all medications and vaccinations through the veterinarians will triple. Just so you know.
Huh. Another.
For all those people that think, well, it's not going to affect me.
Yeah. Good luck.
Just so
you
know.
What, are
they
pets covered under Obamacare now or something?
No, but all the taxes on all medical instruments. I mean, veterinarians use pretty much the same things. I mean, they're stocked. It's a medical office, and medications are going to be impacted. Everything. So you know,
heartworm medicine three times higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Outstanding.
So the end result, of course, will be that people that are on a shoestring already and hanging on with their fingernails will no longer care for their pets the way they could or should.
Exactly. But they can pay for high speed rail if they live in California, which is just fantastic.
Just so you know.
It's like that CVS thing.
Yeah.
The more you know. Yeah. The more you know, we don't like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe, on the high speed rail thing, where they are now, they have a high speed rail commission. And those people make a ton of money. Just promoting it, or what do they do? What's the High Speed Rail Commission do?
The High Speed Rail Authority is made up of a board of directors, and I don't think they're making much money. I think they get paid per meeting they attend or something like that. They get a lot of ego reward being on television, but they don't get money. But the authority staff is certainly well paid, and all of these consultants working for engineering companies are well paid. So there's a lot of money going out the door. California has already spent $1 billion on high-speed rail and has yet to lay one inch of track. If this isn't shocking,
say that one more time.
Yeah.
California has already spent $1 billion on high-speed rail and has yet to lay one inch of track.
Now, hasn't a lot of that been spent on, and visualize the air quotes, folks, experts traveling to other countries to study high-speed rail?
It's been spent on that. It's spent on studies for how to route trains through, should we go through these 25 farmers' fields, or should we go through the middle of the city of Fresno, and that studies train speeds and all, and electricity usage, and on it goes. You know, there's the people who are making all of this money. It's amazing how much contempt they are showing for California citizens. And I want to point something out before our time ends today, and that is the San Diego Union Tribune and LA Times just revealed that the authority did something that it has to be illegal. They changed the rules of the bidding on construction for the first segment of the system in the Central Valley. Now, under the original rules, a company could be eligible only if they had, like, the best technical expertise in engineering design and all that, price was not necessarily going to be the deciding factor. And by the way, there are good reasons to do it that way, because the lowest bidder is not necessarily the best one to hire. Well, in secret, they changed the rules. There's no public notice of it, and they gave the contract to the outfit that came in as the least qualified. Least qualified. Even the LA Times, which editorially likes this project, even they found themselves compelled to write about this lack of honest governance. So now we're getting to the point where, well, maybe we do have some real bona fide corruption that we could prove on paper and get these people.
I like it. Okay, we're going to talk about some more corruption on high-speed rail and all that good stuff with Joe Vranich when we come back. You have time to get some coffee. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Hour number two of We the People, just around the bend here at KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Back in our seats, got a new cup of coffee after the five-minute break at the top of the hour. You are joining We the People Radio. We are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us, or you can join the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Call in number is 530-605-4567. We're talking with Joe Vranich, and we're talking about the tragic train wreck that is high-speed rail. So I'm going to jump right back to it because Joe has to leave here shortly. And we've got a caller on the line. Lydia, are you there?
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for our guest. I have heard that Governor Brown has asked the federal government for $5.5 billion in order to help fund his bullet train or his high-speed train. And I just wondered if our guest has heard anything about this.
Thanks, Lydia.
Okay, and I'll take the answer on the air.
Joe, what do you think?
Yes, he has asked for additional funding. I apologize. I just don't remember the number offhand, but that sounds like it's a reasonable number that he would have used. Governor, and that's only the beginning, Governor Brown and people who think like he do, expect to have many billions more come from the federal government. So $5.5 billion, if that was the figure used, and it likely was, that's just the start. The bigger figures are coming down the line. Keep in mind that this program was sold to the voters as $30-some billion in a $30-some billion project, but it's going to cost, well, we're convinced that it will cost more than $100 billion. So regardless of whether Barack Obama is president or Joe Schmo is president, these California big spenders are going to be going back to Washington with their hat in hand for many, many, many years to build this system.
And the taxpayers of California will be paying this into perpetuity long after Jerry Brown is not only gone from office, but gone.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In March, by the way, just last month, the state has decided to sell up to $8.6 billion in state bonds. They're called general obligation bonds to help finance this system. So, excuse my voice. So they're marching ahead on all fronts. And Governor, to raise money, and Governor Brown, when he was in China and rode their high-speed rail system last week, he made a pitch for Chinese investment in this. Well, come on, let's get real. The only way the Chinese are going to invest in this system is not as if they're business people, but if they can come in and get contracts to build the system, just like they have a contract to work on the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. So, again, we have people who confuse hope with facts.
Well, and they're also confusing reality. Because it, as we were talking off air, they think that they keep talking about how, oh, private business is going to want to get involved in this and they're going to back it and the Chamber of Commerce is in favor. Well, maybe you could debrief that for people.
Well, I have a message for the California Chamber of Commerce. Shame on you for endorsing this project. It has been put together in such an irresponsible way. It continues to be promoted in ways with no credibility whatsoever. It's violating all kinds of laws, including Proposition 1A. How dare you, California Chamber of Commerce, come out and support something like this? Now, I want everybody to know I'm old enough to remember what it was like in the 1950s, 60s, 70s when chambers of commerce routinely opposed big government projects like this because of the deleterious effect it would have on a state or a community's financial health, about the corruption that usually comes along with big, big projects like this. So chambers of commerce used to be part of the balancing act. You have unions wanting the government to spend money, the chamber saying no, no. Now, so many companies in California have their hand out, and they're getting funds from one level of government or another, either through contracts or hoping to win a contract, so they're making friends with people in government, that the chamber has now deteriorated to become another cheering section for non-credible projects like California High Speed Rail. And I say shame on them. By the way, a good group is the California Manufacturing and Technology Association. They still have some principles, and they oppose this project.
So can we chat a little bit about eminent domain and how this is going to, I mean, because I know people are going to have their land taken.
Sure.
Yes. People are going to have their land taken, and the people who right now who are the most concerned about that are in a couple of areas. One is in the Central Valley of California, consisting primarily of farmers, and that's led to a Kings County lawsuit against the authority. If you're a farmer and you've got a huge field, keep in mind, you might wonder, well, so what if a train comes through the middle of it? Well, that's a big so what, because you can only get to the other side of your field if you get on an access road and drive maybe 5 miles to an underpass. Then you have to have an easement over somebody else's property to get your tractor back up to your other part of your land that's on the other side of the tracks. This is not easy, folks, and the farmers are very upset about this. Another area where there's opposition is in the rich Silicon Valley communities, because they don't want that local commuter train line, Caltrain, from San Jose into San Francisco. They don't want those tracks expanded from 2 tracks to 4 tracks, which will come through some of these beautiful places and just rip down thousands of trees, rip down residential areas and so forth, and they're opposed to it. And the last example would be in places like Fresno and Bakersfield. The high-speed train system would be built smack through the middle of town, elevated. So it becomes sort of like a Berlin Wall that's unattractive as heck, and it separates the communities and the people in those places still don't know what's coming at them. And once they realize what this construction is going to do to the center of their cities, they're going to be real opposed. By the way, the French learned years ago not to put trains like this, the high-speed ones, right through the middle of town. They go to the edge of towns, and they have separate high-speed rail stations from the local train stations, purposely for that reason, to not rip up existing communities. So look for this for fireworks from several parts of the state over this issue.
So what are the chances that they start the project, run out of money, it sits there for years until they can scrape more money together, and then they, I mean, how long is this project intended to go on?
If I were a betting man, and if this were a game in Las Vegas, I'd take all my money out of the bank and bet that this project will never proceed past the initial phase that they're able to build with the money that they have now. I believe so strongly it will never be built past the section that they can afford to build now that I would literally put all my money on that bet.
And it's like 50 miles, right?
Something like that. It's a stretch in the middle of nowhere, and now they're saying, well, we can build it, and in the meantime, you know, we can reroute Amtrak, and Amtrak could use it. Yeah, it'll take about 7 or 10 minutes off of the schedule between Bakersfield and Oakland. And that does, and we should spend $8 billion of state bond funds to do that. That's not high-speed rail. Again, that violates the law. If California had an attorney general other than Kamala Harris, somebody who really respected the law, there would be state lawsuits on this very project and on people affiliated with it. So we've really lost the rule of law in California.
Now, when Jerry Brown made a recent trip to China, do you think he was asking for money for high-speed rail?
Oh, I know he was. He admitted he was. It's why China should give money for it is beyond me, unless they get construction contracts.
It'd probably wind up like the Trans-Texas Corridor, where they give them all the rights to all the property alongside the roadway. They get to operate all the stores and keep all the tax money that's generated.
That would be part of the incentive for anybody, Chinese, French, German, whatever, to come in. And as a matter of fact, let's talk about that. They talk about how this is going to create so many jobs for Californians. Excuse me, the big engineering firm involved in this is owned by a British company, so there are a lot of Brits making money off of this. Siemens has a plant in near Sacramento that builds streetcars, and they're saying, well, if you build high-speed rail, we can assemble them here. Notice, assemble them. Yeah, the trains, equipment, components would be built, I guess, in Germany, but we get to assemble them. So the ability of companies that are located in foreign countries that have already built high-speed rail, the ability for them to turn this into a gold mine for themselves is much greater than is generally recognized.
Well, the more we do on this, really over the last few years, the closer we get to quote unquote starting the project. Mm-hmm. Really, really and truly, it enters, it's funny, somebody on the chat room here, Mark, has, we should call it the Carl Sagan line. It's going to cost billions and billions and billions.
Well, that's a great name, the Carl Sagan line.
Yeah, we might as well pay in stars. We've got just about that much money. So I don't know, boggles the mind. Let's take a really quick break. We're going to come back with Joe, and then he's got to go. Pretty good rhyme there. We're going to have some more train music, I think. More train music, Bob? Talk to us, Bob.
Oh, listen.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Listen to KCNR 1460. We'll be right back with you.
There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the soul that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the head and you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. Protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Claim to the Father and His holy name. And don't go right
back. So let me paint a picture for you. High-speed rail in California. project never gets finished. The land is taken from American taxpayers, given to the Chinese, and your children and grandchildren will be paying taxes on an unfinished product or project into perpetuity. Did I sum that up correctly?
That's true. I'm not sure about the land to the Chinese, because it could be land to a whole host of interests, with the Chinese being one part of it.
Yeah, that's just my imagination going crazy.
Yeah, it's conceivable. Let me put it this way. The chances of you being accurate with that statement are about 10,000 times more than the chances of the California High-Speed Rail Authority being accurate on a similar statement.
I like to think I have my own crystal ball.
And with this project, the good news is you can just talk smack, and you're actually probably closer than they are. Okay, so they've tried to get out of filing the environmental impact statements that are actually currently required in California. So if any of us here wanted to do a project, we'd be tangled in red tape from now until hell freezes.
For as long as they chose to keep us tangled.
Yeah. But these guys wanted to shortcut the process, and then the environmental backlash was kind of big.
Yeah, talk about the environmentalists.
How'd that work out?
Well, that's not working out well. The Sierra Club, which has been a big booster of this project, and by the way, many years ago I was a member of the Sierra Club, and then I saw the light and I said, I'm not supporting this anymore. There's a difference between conservation and radical environmentalism, but that's their support for this project and how much damage it would do to prime farmland and its lack of contributing to a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions and so forth. I think their support is really short-sighted, if not downright appalling. Now they finally saw some light, and the Sierra Club is saying, well, wait a minute, we don't want this project to be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act. Well, what did you think they were going to do? If they misled the public for so long in so many ways, what made you think they were not going to mislead you, the environmentalists, also?
What, you thought you were pals?
Thought they were on the inside track.
Ooh. Good one, Aaron.
Oh, there you go.
Instead, it was another third rail issue.
Well, the Sierra Club thought it saw some light at the end of the tunnel, but they didn't.
Okay, we're having way too much fun with this one.
Oh, I mean, how can you, you know, I mean, it's so tragic that we even have these discussions in a state where they just raised taxes to supposedly help schools, and we all know the money's not going there, and they've got fake fire fees to, you know,
to fight fires that are already paid for.
To backfill budget that they've swiped. So, you know, giving them more money, I mean, this is...
When are people going to wake up? I mean, I
know reality shows about intervention, you know, where they go and they your whole family sits around and tells these people they need to get off drugs or they're going to die. I mean, could we do that on a state level and in an election maybe? That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 2014 would be sweet.
You know, you mentioned reality shows. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the show The Shark Tank on television.
Oh, that's good. I like that one.
What is it?
Well, people go to these big money guys looking to get their projects funded.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they have to make a presentation, and sometimes they're treated pretty badly, but sometimes the funders, the financing types compete with each other. I'll give them $50,000. No, I'll give them $250,000. Well, the point I'm making is, can you imagine if the California High Speed Rail Authority appeared before the Shark Tank people? They would say, hey, wait a minute now, you said you're going to operate at a profit, but this Reason Foundation report says you're going to lose between $124 and $373 million a year. How can you dare come before us and ask for money? I'm out. And then another guy might say, well, you know, you people got the California citizens to vote on Proposition 1A, and you promised the trains would go into Orange County, into Anaheim, and into Sacramento, and down to San Diego, and you've pulled those lines out of your system. Your costs have at least doubled, if not tripled or quadrupled, and you've shrunk the system. I'm not giving you a penny. I'm out. The point of my little story here is, if we held the California High Speed Rail Authority to the same measurements that we hold entrepreneurs, startups, private companies, and big corporations, these people running the authority would not get a dime.
I think they call it a business plan.
What a joke.
Yeah. Different rules.
So how do we derail this thing? For real.
Stop,
I mean,
Aaron.
How do we?
Well, I see only a couple of options, really, and that is it has to be derailed through lawsuits. And if also in Washington, this has now become a Washington battle. And with people like Nancy Pelosi doing everything she can do to get money for this project, it's really incumbent upon all voters to pay attention to who you're electing to office. And it doesn't matter whether it's a city councilman in Anaheim or whether it's a member of Congress. We have to be prudent about putting people in the office who are responsible and who will not spend money like drunken sailors. And as Ronald Reagan once said, he just insulted drunken sailors.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, people always say, oh, we need term limits and this and that. Well, we have them. They're called elections. The bad part is that things like the report you wrote, which is excellent, by the way, I really hope people will go to the Reason Foundation or go to our website and look on there and read. Just even if all you read is the summary page, you guys did a great job on that. We used that Monday, actually, on the air. We did quite a few of the items from your summary page. That's enough to give to your friends and neighbors and say, seriously, people, this is not a good idea. And you have all the backup there. But okay, so if the media doesn't write about it, you know, I mean, you're putting out the information, we're putting out the information, but the mainstream media isn't putting it out there, how will people find out about this?
Well, we do shows like this, but I do want to say we got a little lucky. Because this report was issued during the very time that Governor Brown was in California riding their high-speed train and asking them for money, our report came out right then. So because of the timing of our work, we actually got a pretty good level of recognition and some decent coverage in places in the state, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego. So and we have invitations to do opinion columns in various newspapers. So I feel pretty good about the fact that this time we are getting this word out pretty well, all things considering what our resources are.
Well, that's kind of good. I mean, mm-hmm. At the end of the day. And those folks in the Central Valley, do you think they have enough momentum to kind of stop
that? They've been beaten down so much already.
I know. It's like they need this, like a hole in the head. But to stop that 50 miles of track going in, do you think that will happen? That first little part of the project?
I don't know, because, here's the problem. This project is supported by people like Jerry Brown, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, President Obama. So is a trial judge going to block a project that was approved by the voters, even though what we're getting is not what was promised? Is he going to block that when it's supported by so many in the political establishment? I don't know. How often do judges have lunches and dinners with people like Feinstein, Pelosi, and Brown, and how close are they? So I don't know. I think it's a toss-up.
Interesting. And this has been, when did they first have this idea? Because this hasn't been on my radar for more than a few years. When did they begin with this high-speed rail fantasy?
Well, it began way back in the 1980s with a project to link San Diego with Los Angeles with 150-mile-per-hour trains, and they were going to run along the beaches and through the middle of the towns like San Clemente and so forth, and the uproar that occurred. I mean, there were literally thousands of people opposed to this and forming organizations and showing up at public hearings and protesting that project died. And I say to Californians, if you want to have an influence in this, you really must find some prudent, legal, responsible way to make your voice heard very loud on this issue.
Are they going to allow them to sidestep the environmental reports in the end, do you think?
I don't know. That's going to be an issue in the legislature that's going to be pretty hotly debated, because keep in mind, businesses have been beaten down also by the California Environmental Quality Act. So a lot of businesses, for more legitimate reasons, want to have that law tamed or modified. So that's another thing that's going to be for political junkies can have a field day watching what unfolds, and that legislative debate over the upcoming months.
All right. And before you go, are we still bleeding businesses like we were last time we talked to you?
Yes, we are. The passage of Proposition 30 last November is the last straw for a lot of business owners who've been calling me. They've said, you know, okay, if they're going to raise my taxes, they're going to raise my taxes. However, how dare they do it retroactively?
Wasn't that something?
Yeah, most people don't even know that.
That's their trick now. That's what they did with the fire tax. Everything's retroactive. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So they hammer a business for a year that they've already completed, so they can't plan because the time has already passed.
I've been in business for 24 years. I've been in business for 24 years. Never in my business career have I had so much business as I do right now in locating and relocating companies around the United States, places like, and it's not just California, a company in New York is moving to Texas, but now most of my business is moving California companies calling me, telling me, we're getting out of here, move me somewhere.
Wow. And then you've got all the gun manufacturers in Connecticut that'll be calling here pretty quick.
And they may. We have one gun manufacturer in California, by the way, that just left for Texas. They're moving to Shiner, Texas, which is where Shiner beer is manufactured. And I said, that's a town I have to visit, a town with beer and guns.
I was going to say, beer and guns in Texas. As long as they don't have a fertilizer plant, it should be good.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Poor guys, man. They just, you know, you have that much stuff going on in a state, you're going to have some good stuff and bad stuff. Well, we thank you for spending the morning with us. We know that you've made other plans here at 9:30, so we want you to be able to get to that. Any updates that you have on business, businesses relocating, any new trends you see going on, any high-speed rail updates, we want to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
It's great. And well, thanks for the opportunity to get the word out about this new Reason Foundation report. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Fantastic.
And if we'd known that you had to leave early, we would have goofed around in the last part of the show instead of the first.
Okay.
But we do like to warm people up.
We had no idea.
There you go.
So anyway, thank you very much.
Well, I have one suggestion. You could close your show with Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah.
Especially since Governor Brown likes choo-choos. One last comment. I think we ought to all chip in and buy a little model train set for Governor Brown and give it to him as a gift and say, hey, put this around your Christmas tree and leave the taxpayers. Play with this little train and leave us alone with the big train.
Yeah, and by the way, buy it yourself. No kidding.
Oh, okay, that too.
Yeah, make him foot the bill himself.
But if we pay for it, he'll be more embarrassed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We could all chip in. Wouldn't that be awesome? It is an amazing disaster. Thank you very much for actually taking the time to put that together. That's a huge amount of work to put that report together. How many pages was the whole thing? It was gigantic.
Yeah, I don't remember, and I don't have it in front of me.
All right. Well, it was huge. So it wasn't like you wrote a little column for a newspaper or something. I mean, it was a huge study you guys did. So
that's correct.
People want more facts on high-cost rail. The Reason Foundation is your location for that. And look for Joe Vranich, his name. Thanks, Joe. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, bye-bye. Joe. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here and come back. If you have calls that you would like to make, do them. 605-4567. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Looking at the world through the sunset in your eyes. Train to glimmer, rockin' skies. Ducks and pigs and chickens call. Animal carpet, wall to wall. American ladies, 5 foot tall and blue. Sweeping cobwebs from the edges of my mind. Had to get away to see what we could find. Hope the days that lie ahead bring us back to where they've led. Listen up to what they said to you. Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh, all on board the train. All on board the train.
All aboard for Night Train.
I'd like to thank Roger Hedgecock for loading us this track.
Thank you, Roger.
Atlanta, Georgia.
We're back. We're going to, in a, just a one quick minute, run to our telephones and talk to Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who was a big opponent of high-speed rail in California. But very quickly, just wanted to let the folks know that currently we have a supermajority in our state legislature, which can be dangerous on either side because it gives the legislature the power to pass things that don't require a vote. And there will be a 16th senatorial race, 16th district senatorial race on May 20th. That comprises the Fresno, Visalia, Tulare area. You can look that up on the internet. There's one conservative candidate, Andy Vidak, V-I-D-A-K, running for that seat. If he gets that seat, it breaks the supermajority in the California state legislature, at least until 2014.
Senate.
So definitely look that up and pass that information along to anybody that you know. You can look at, go on to Google and do Andy Vidak for Congress, state Congress, of course, and pass that link on to anybody that you know that lives in the Central Valley area and get the word out.
Yep, state Senate, because the Assembly needs three in order to break their supermajority.
But the Senate just won, and he's the guy.
There you go.
Thanks.
Congressman, you spend a lot of time calling it high-cost rail, and I do believe the Reason Foundation has validated.
Well, I feel validated, too, then. So, you know, anybody can do some math and see. And given a history of government project, this is like our own Boston Big Dig here. So, interestingly, though, you were talking about the makeup of the legislature last year when the first round of bonds were requiring authorization in the state Senate. It got the bare majority of votes, 21-19, to go that way. And so that meant that at least four Democrats out of a 25, you know, number voted no on that. And three of the four were the most knowledgeable Democrats on high-speed rail that voted against the plan. So it's now 29-11 Dems to Reeves in the state Senate. And so, yes, in order to have it not be one-party control, three seats have to be picked off in the state Senate. One of them could be the one in Bakersfield you're talking about, and then one in Orange County they're looking at, and I'm not sure what else. But it's tough going, because when you have that over two-thirds control, you're talking about spending or bonding. They can raise any tax, or they can put any type of measure on the ballot by a single-party system when they have that. And when over on the Assembly side, it's 55-25. That means two seats need to be switched back over to get to a less than two-thirds there. So it's an awful great dynamic we have in California, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awful great. And actually, at the federal level, they're anticipating a boatload of money coming. But since you're a member of the House of Representatives, where the money actually starts, what do you see as a prognosis for that money?
Oh, Aaron, now, the money doesn't start there. The money starts with the people.
yeah, but the spending, maybe I should say the spending starts there.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, imagine the people having the money. Wouldn't that be confusing?
Yeah. Well, if everybody just took a year off, there'd be a real quick reckoning of where things come from. Where's the food come from? Where's the tax resource or revenue come from? You know, it'd be actually fun to hear a 1 year furlough from being a taxpayer. But, you know, that said, the spending plan does originate there. You know, the president puts out his budget plan, I think it was 65 days late. So imagine if your IRS payment was 65 days late. But, we have, still opportunities to, work that plan. And with the Paul Ryan plan, which is only one of the three houses that have, even mentioned trying to balance over some period of time. The president's plan doesn't, even after we had done a resolution to ask Mr. President, when do you intend to balance the budget? We're not telling you how or when or in any fashion. We're just like, we're curious as to when you think we should move towards it. And so far, it's been deafening on that.
Just no plan, no interest, no need, huh?
I mean, they actually kind of laugh at it. You know, the U.S. Senate, too, they kind of laugh. Oh, you guys, your silly budget balancing ideas. Like, yeah, I guess it's silly. So, you know, you were talking about high-speed rail earlier, too, and one of the obvious areas when we're talking about sequester and the sky's falling and everything else, some of the obvious areas that you could save money on things that aren't going to work, and that's why I've pursued that holy grail for the last, you know, 2.5 years, is this high-speed rail boondoggle that is more and more evident. I mean, I'm posting articles all the time, information all the time on that, and they still don't have the financing, they still don't have the input, they don't have anything that would make it viable. But they're getting close in the valley towards the groundbreaking time for the first segment down there, I think, between, I think it's Fresno and Madera. You know, people's private property is being either condemned or bought up, and the first, you know, $1 billion of the actual building of the boondoggle will be happening, you know, unless some of the lawsuits hold it up that are out there. You know, I think one of the farm groups settled on theirs because, I don't even know what the rationale was, but so there's one less lawsuit holding it up. And I'm just really concerned that people are knuckling under, like they are to a lot of things in the media these days, in the public, just giving up and allowing evil to prevail.
Yeah, because if they do start capitulating, it's, you know, they get that mentality sometimes. Well, if we play nice with them, things will go easier for us.
No, they don't, because the left is always on offense. They're always on our side of the 50-yard line. And when you give up a yard, you don't get a yard back. You don't get occasionally 2 yards back, you know, using a obvious football metaphor here. But it's always moving our back closer and closer to our own goal line, whether it's spending or government snooping or you know, moral values, any of that stuff. It doesn't go the direction of what are traditional values.
Well,
and that's why we have to just call it as we see it and say no and do it factually and with the...
Hey, on the snooping, tell folks about your amendment there on the CISPA, Cyber ISPA.
Yeah, there was a...
I know cyber's the C.
Cybersecurity bill.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The other day there. That, you know, I have concerns about that, and it's a different bill than a lot of other things that come down the pike, the NDAA and Patriot and things like that. But, you know, it could make somebody wonder, is it the smack of that, right? So what's good about this is that it's an opt-in measure for those that would be affected by a cyber hit. They can opt in into sharing this information with others of like institutions, like corporations, what have you, and say, hey, here's what hit me. And so the legislation is designed to provide for the confidence of the information in the database, but just sharing of the nature of the cyber attack, where it's coming from. And you can bring in FBI, CIA, and some of the others to also analyze that well and juxtapose that with other information they have. But there's no requirement that people be given up their private information and all that data within there. It's an opt-in by the corporations, by the institutions, by others that are attacked by this, which in the briefing I was in, we were actually in a top-secret briefing on this situation. And the threats that are out there that aren't really talked about, that aren't publicized, are very real. And this could be, I mean, it's serious enough that it could collapse one of the major banks during the attack, or a couple of them. And that starts a real big domino on our entire financial institution. You know, I mean, you may not like banks and all this and that, but we do see that there's an underpinning there that...
And some of them have our money in it.
Well, yes. And so, I mean people get tired of maybe some of the big East institutions back there and all that, and that's easy to bash on and stuff, but nonetheless, so much of the stuff is tied up in there that if a foreign cyber attack was able to hit those and start toppling that or changing and erasing the information, then we've got a lot of chaos for an amount of time there, and who knows how you restore that, as well as the ability to attack power plants. I mean, It's not unlike that one of the, I think, the third Die Hard movie there, you know, where it kind of looks a little bit like that.
It's not good when real life starts to imitate Die Hard movies.
But I think, you know, it goes both ways, real life and, you know, it inspired. Anyway, so this stuff goes on a lot more than what is out there publicly. And so this measure that I offered an amendment to further clarify, saying that in no way can this measure be inferred or used in any fashion to get at an individual person's information, just to make it crystal clear. And so that my amendment, you know, got unanimous support in the House, 413-0. And I think it moves it in the right way, because it basically really underlines that using this information incorrectly, unlawfully, will get you prosecuted, will get you in trouble. So there can be no, no confusion as if a government agency uses this incorrectly.
Sure.
But
people
deemed as an emergency thing. Like, we're hearing all this emergency stuff they're talking about in Boston, right? We've seen some pictures of some highly irregular neighborhood searches in people's houses, you know, looking for these bombers, right? Well, you politely knock on the door, say, hey, we'd like to check. Instead, people are being led outside with their arms in the air that were innocents on this thing. So, you know, you got to always be careful with what you're allowing the power of government to do, even though it might be an emergency or it might be for the good, that the good citizens of Boston didn't need to be treated that way, even though there's a threat. So, you know.
Yeah, and then when we count on the rule of law to hold them accountable, you know, people on the chat room, you know, we're getting, what about Benghazi? What about Fast and Furious? You know, the rule of law seems not to apply to some of these people in our government, like a whole bunch of them.
Well, the rule of law, the quality of it is also equal to the quality of the people enforcing it, and with people like, Attorney General Holder there, kind of being the straw stirring the drink on that, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. And so part of our conversation on the CISPA bill was that this has to be kind of impervious to any particular whim of an administration. So that's why mine and several of the other amendments were put in place to at least attempt to do that. Now, there's also a reality, too, that no matter what law you put in or what you can provide, if the government wants to do something illegally with your information, it doesn't need the authorization by the CISPA law or a prohibition by the CISPA law and its amendments to do what it wants to do. If it wants to go around illegally do stuff, it's going to do it anyway. But at least we have in this measure the ability for private people to share, if they want, this information in order to address when they've been attacked by a cyber situation. And I think that's important. So we've seen a lot of privacy legislation passed in recent years as the technology changes on our electronics, things of that nature. Updates were required, I think, to address some of these nuances here, and so that was the thrust of where this bill was going.
Well, good, because it's that stuff is a big concern. We've been having a lot of debate here in Reading about the drones and some different things.
Cyber attacks are indeed very intense and very real, and if we don't have the ability legally to find ways to address it, we can see our nation very quickly crippled because we are so technologically dependent on this grid, the system now. You know, it isn't just manually go turn on the power plant now. It's very intricate with electronics and remote programming and this and that. So, you know, a cyber attack can really, you know, could it shut down the whole power grid for a month if it was really intense? And what's that mean in the coldest time of year when people are,
sure,
needing warmth, and as well as our financial institution, the chaos that can be pulled. So, you know, I think it was responsible that this be looked at, and, you know, we tried our best to build in the safeguards to privacy and internal information and Fourth Amendment rights as is possible.
And it should be noted, it had 413 yeses, no nos. Nobody voted against that.
On the amendment, no.
Yeah, which correct. Is kind of amazing. Like, everyone actually agreed that we should protect the privacy of American citizens.
Right.
That's kind of good, you know, because, I mean, I think sometimes people think, well, a lot of these people, you know, they wouldn't even vote for it if it was right in front of them. Well, apparently they would. So It's kind of a good
yeah,
sign anyway.
You get it right once in a while, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Hey, we've got to take a quick break. You want to stay or go? Your option.
A couple more minutes after the break, of course. Okay.
Okie dokie. All right. Okay. Take a quick break. Thank our advertisers. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Community radio for the North State. Here are the Doobie Brothers coming at you right now. We're back, wrapping up 2 hours of fun and frivolity and some serious messages in between. We are talking to Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And before you go, Congressman, any words of wisdom for us?
Oh, you guys are, I'm cracking up big time. You used the Peace Train by Cat Stevens there.
Yeah, that Bob gets the credit for that one.
Yeah, good job, Bob. That was awesome.
Thank you, Congressman.
Well, that kind of fits with the theme of yesterday was 420 Dope Smoke Day, and then tomorrow, I think, is Earth Day, as long as Vladimir Lenin's birthday here, so maybe Peace Train dovetails right in the middle with that. Good, what do you think?
That's awesome. And we had Randall on the line who wanted to talk to us about Earth Day, and then we got derailed and got distracted. We're sorry, Randall. We apologize publicly. But yeah, you know, Earth Day, man, it's a good day. That's every day. Every time Earth Day rolls around, been doing it since the early 80s, I throw out all my recyclables.
Yeah. My understanding, it was started on 1970 with the 100th birthday commemoration of Lenin. So.
Oh, lovely. Well, yeah. I didn't hear about it until the 80s, and I forced my kids to go to the landfill and throw away all our recyclables. My daughter still laughs every year. She's like, "You are so bad." I was like, "Well, you didn't have to grow up and be a moron then, did you?" But there was a big 420. I heard it on Coast to Coast last night. There was a big 420 celebration in Colorado. All these potheads were all together, and somebody shot somebody, and I was like...
And everybody scattered, so they had no witnesses.
Yeah, but did they scatter slow?
Or, I don't know.
I mean, how does that work? Did they scatter in circles?
I don't know.
I saw them all in my mind running in little circles. It was kind of a funny visual there.
Yep.
It's something. Well, everybody, tomorrow, be sure to go get on your local high-cost rail station there and wait for the train. Of course, you're going to be waiting for a lot of years.
That will never come.
Billions. Billions and billions. But, you know, we are, as we look at this thing, there's so many more reports coming out that it is not going to work. There's no private financing for it. And so...
And they're not going to stop, though, are they?
No, they're pressing ahead as fast as they can because they want to get it started. So we're like, well, we've already started. It'd be bad to waste...
Cut your losses and run.
Bad money after good, so we have to spend all of it and build the whole thing and spend the full $150 billion instead of only... You know, what we should be doing is because we should be clawing the money back that the federal government is going to give. And everybody says, well, it's already committed. Well... That must mean that the vendor's involved. By the way, if you want to be a vendor, if you have a losing bid, they'll pay you $2 million anyway.
I forgot about that. I did read that.
God.
Put your idea in for somehow building a segment of high-cost rail, and for all the losing vendors, they'll cut you a check for $2 million. So maybe that's the growth industry in California right now. But we should be clawing that money back. There's the $3 billion from the stimulus money that was earmarked for that. And if it means that you have vendors who are already committed to it, then we just cut their losses and negotiate your way out. We should do this.
Let's let them run a business and actually make money long term rather than get tangled in that rope. Hey, thank you, sir, for coming on with us.
Hey, everybody jump on the peace train. Have a good week.
Bye, Doug.
Thanks. Have a good one. All right, folks, we are going to be back with you next week. Go on to wethepeopleradio.us, and you can get all the info on the Reason Foundation report on high-cost rail. Tell a friend. See you next week.
All right, thank you, Aaron and Elizabeth. Outstanding job filling in last Monday, by the way. Don Shulman is next here at KCNR Shasta.